David and Goliath may well be the all-time favorite Sunday school story. They were certainly my favorite as a child. It's a very bloody story. Glory. Shepherd boy selects five smooth stones, inserts one stone in his sling, whirls the sling, and flings the stone at the giant warrior, drops him with one shot. Stone sunk deep into his forehead, splitting his skull. Rated PG, 13, for violence. It's probably banned from Sunday school these days, but it was great in my day. It was the favorite story of the year. And it gets worse, you see. We didn't have Drew read this part, the very last line, because it's really gory. With no weapon of his own, David picks up Goliath's sword and hacks off his head for a trophy, and then takes the head, hanging it by the hair, back to King Saul to show his accomplishment. Sure, it's bloody. I grant you that. So is life. Get over it. It's a victory for God. Hallelujah. And that's what the story's about. Now let's talk about another great Sunday school story this morning. Jesus calms the storm at sea, Mark's gospel that you heard just now. And I want you to understand some things about Mark. Mark's a writer. Every writer, whether writing a story or a term paper or a love letter or a trip report or an excuse for missing class last week, every writer has an agenda. And that includes the author of the book of Samuel, from which we heard this morning, Paul writing to the Corinthians, from which we heard this morning, and the gospel writers, including the gospel according to St. Mark, including St. Mark with his agenda. Now, Mark did not simply sit down and write a flat, boring biography of Jesus. Mark is an evangelist. He's bringing good news, and he's got a great story. He tells it with breathless excitement, because not only does he believe it from the bottom of his heart, it's a good story, and he wants everyone who hears it to be as excited as he is, so excited, in fact, that you feel driven to run out and share the story with everybody you know and with everybody you don't know and tell it over and over and over again, because it never gets old. The story never goes stale. Now, this is the Episcopal Church sometimes, I think, unfortunately, but if this were First Baptist, you would have in your lap your Bible this morning, and I would ask you to open your Bible to the gospel according to St. Mark. Mark chapter 1 and verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now keep your finger in that page, because we're coming back there directly. But first, our Bible story for today, just to think about that again. A great windstorm comes up and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat is being swamped. Is about to sink. But Jesus is back in the stern, lying down asleep on the cushion. Teacher, we're dying. Don't you care? He wakes up and rebukes the wind and the sea. Peace, be still. Wind stops. Sea goes flat, calm. And they're filled with awe, asking each other, who is this? Who is this that even wind and sea obey him? The question, who is this, is central to Mark's agenda. Remember, I told you every writer has an agenda. This is very central and core to Mark's agenda. The question, who is this? Not only central that you see Jesus' power over the forces of nature, that's not astonishing to you, because you've heard these stories before. You already know who he is. The agenda is that you see that his disciples are so obtuse, so dense, so thick, that they have to ask, who is this? Isn't it obvious who he is? For God's sake, peace be still and instant dead calm. Isn't it obvious? Not to these cluts. And that's Mark's agenda for you, the reader. Okay, now, you still have your Bible in your lap. You've got your finger at Mark chapter 1. Let's go back there, and I'll repeat it. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Who is this story about? It's about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And who is Jesus? He's the Son of God. Mark is telling you right up at the front. So in the story now, who knows who Jesus is? Well, of course, Mark knows. He's writing the story. And you see, now you know because he just told you. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In the story, nobody else knows. Nobody. Same chapter, we're skipping to verse 11. Jesus is baptized by John in the River Jordan. And obviously we have a baptism here this morning, and we will be using blessed holy water from that same River Jordan. And I will invite you, I'll try to get you a little bit wet, I'll invite you to touch that water and even make the sign of the cross with your wet hand in memory and remembrance of your own baptism. In that event, Jesus is baptized as he comes up from the water, and then there's a voice from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And so now, Jesus knows that he's the Son of God. Whether you think, whether you believe he knew beforehand is not relevant, because this is Mark's story. So now, once again, in Mark's story, who knows who Jesus is? Mark knows, you and I know, and now Jesus knows. In the story, nobody else knows. Okay, back in your Bible, we're still in Mark chapter 1 at verse 21. At verse 21, they go to Capernaum, they enter the synagogue, and there's a man there with a demon, an unclean spirit. "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? I know who you are. Have you come to destroy us, the Holy One of God?" Whoa. Here's somebody else that knows. Mark knows, you and I know, Jesus knows, and this demon knows who Jesus is. So now we're working now along on Mark's agenda. Same chapter, verse 34. "He cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him." Chapter 3, verse 11. "Whenever the unclean spirits, whenever the demons saw him, they fell down before him and shouted, 'You are the Son of God.'" Mark is building his agenda. You see, who is this? That's the agenda. Who is this? And especially, who recognizes him? And more important, who does not? Okay, Mark chapter 5, verse 2. Don't worry, I'm almost done. I'm not going to do everything in Mark's gospel with you. "Crossing the Sea of Galilee, they come to the country of the Gerasenes. Immediately, a man with an unclean spirit, a man with a demon, rushes out of the tombs and meets Jesus. This man is deranged. He's half crazy. He cannot be restrained with chains and shackles. He breaks them to pieces. Night and day, the Bible tells us, among the tombs and around the mountains, he howls and bruises himself with stones. He looks and he sees Jesus from a distance, and he runs down and he bows down before him and shouts, 'What have you to do with me, Jesus of Nazareth, Son of the Most High God?'" It's agenda. Mark wants you to see who recognizes Jesus and especially who does not. And so again, who knows at this point in the story? Mark knows, you and I know, Jesus knows, and the demons know. Nobody else knows. Even the disciples don't recognize him. You think, what a bunch of knuckleheads. They see him doing these things, healing people, curing blindness, casting out demons. He raises a little girl from death. In Mark 6, he feeds 5,000 people with five loaves of bread and two little fish. And then right after that, he walks out on the surface of the sea, and his disciples still have no idea who he is. Don't you think you'd know by now? I think I would. Okay, Mark 8, he feeds 4,000 people with seven loaves of bread and a few fish. And listen, right after that, he gets in the boat with the disciples, and the disciples start worrying, agonizing amongst each other, because they only brought one loaf of bread to feed the dozen of them or whatever. Now they're afraid they're going to starve. And Jesus listens to this, and he is incredulous. that after seeing him feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 4,000 people with 7 loaves of bread, they're now worried about having only 1 loaf of bread for 12 or 13 people in their little group in the boat. They still do not understand who he is. Now we come to today. Mark raises the stakes. He heightens the tension. Today is the ultimate. By word alone, Jesus controls the forces of creation. He subdues violent nature. At his command, at his word, the storm stops. The wind ceases. The sea goes flat, dead, calm. And what do the witnesses say? Who is this? Can't they see? Mark's agenda is not that they are stupid, I'm telling you, but to put the frustrated reader, the reader, and that is you, on the edge of your seat wondering what the heck is wrong with these disciples that they cannot see. Well, no, they're too close to him. They believe he's the Messiah. They do believe that. But they expect a Messiah who will overthrow the Roman occupation of Palestine and will reestablish the throne of David. Not a holy man like this. And besides, he's their friend. He's one of them. They cannot see. They do not understand the dynamic of God. As Mary Magdalene sings in the rock opera, Jesus Christ Superstar, he's just a man. Mark, the gospel writer, Mark, the evangelist, is doing his agenda on us, on me, and on you. No matter how obvious it may be to us, no one around Jesus recognizes him. Nobody knows who he is. Ultimately, you see in Mark's gospel, not even the women. No. And we'll go there now. Friday afternoon on Calvary's Hill, the crucified Savior dies in agony, and one person recognizes him, a total stranger, a Gentile. At the cross where the Savior dies, the Roman centurion in charge of the crucifixion proclaims the gospel. Truly, this man is the Son of God. And yet his friends still do not know him. Early Sunday morning, the women get up and go to the tomb to anoint his body with oils and spices because that was their tradition. But they encounter an angel who says, "Don't be afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth. He is not here. He is risen. Go and tell." And they're so terrified that they flee. They say nothing. They do nothing. They tell no one. They run. Showing in today's calming of the storm at sea, Mark's agenda is to stir and build your frustration that nobody around Jesus is sharp enough to see who he is. Mark impels you to become so exasperated that nobody recognizes Jesus Christ that you yourself rush out to proclaim him. As indeed this is your promise that you made to God in your covenant baptism. Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Jesus Christ? I will, with God's help. The candidate for holy baptism will now be presented.